Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the sewer dweller, Rich Stambolian.
I'm so gross.
What would the sewer dweller's gimmick be? Is it like a Mankind thing where instead of like doing the boiler room, he does a sewer?
I think he just throws up on his opponents.
Oh, I love that.
Like, have we had? Yeah, we did have that.
Real gross.
I forgot we had that.
Draws was close because he could throw up on command. But I'm saying like if you had a guy that was just, I don't want to curse, but like he's dressed like an effed up Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
And he comes from the sewer, and his finisher is just he throws up on people.
I like that move.
Slice of pizza and then immediately regurgitates.
Oh, big chunks. Talking about eating pizza, I did a watch along on Saturday for AEW Fighter Fest. Rich, I could not get you on the show for whatever reason. But I did get Miguelito Guapo Geek to join. MG Geek was helping out, so I want to thank him for doing that because there were moments that I had to like run off, and he was really good at keeping the chat going. We had 18,000 people watch.
Wow.
This was a lot of fun. I just could not understand why people wanted to watch me eat pizza and watch a pay-per-view. I mean, I think, you know what, dude, though? At one point, we had like 300 people watching. They want to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, people really enjoyed it. And I think this is, watching in groups makes it so much better.
More fun.
Way more fun. Way more fun. We are going to talk about that card. I have not asked Rich what he thought of it. I obviously stated my opinion when the show was happening, but we've had a couple days, had about a week to think about this, and we'll get into that. But before we continue, I want to thank our friends over at Blue Chew. The Blue Chew Fairy just came and visited us, and I just gave Rich a Blue Chew for later on this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
fireworks,
it's
baby.
To help you, to help men get that little extra edge you need. You know, sometimes you're like this, but you want to be like this.
Right, right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I'm not making that other hand movement that I did last time with
this. What you're doing right now.
I'm not aiming it high, because apparently that's what I do when I'm talking about this. This is a phenomenal product, and you guys could enjoy it too. Somebody in the chat actually just said he just got his, and he thanked us for the promo code. Guys, and here's the great news. It's absolutely free, your first order. You get your first shipment for free when you use the special code MATMEN at checkout. You just pay $5 for the shipping. What's $5 when you know you could be a rock star?
Oh, forget it.
Get your bonus up. BlueChew.com. All right, let's talk about the show.
Yeah, okay. So I got the card in front of me.
Okay. I have to tell you, I also have the ratings here.
Ooh, okay.
I'm generally kind of off with the numbers when I look at Dave's numbers. I think he's a little bit generous with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with these numbers tremendously.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Like, I think the first half of the show was miserable.
Really?
I did not like it whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was, if this was a WWE show, it would have been criticized
hardcore,
really badly.
That's interesting. Okay,
so we'll go through the matches.
Yeah,
I'll tell you the number, and I'll tell you what I felt, and you tell me what you felt.
Well, how about we do it differently, where we each say how we felt, and then we'll look at the rating.
Okay, cool.
Because that may, you know, all right. So one of your pre-show matches was the Best Friends, Chuck Taylor, the Kentucky Gentleman, and Trent Barretta, who I feel like is suspiciously a Greek guy, undercover, defeated SoCal Uncensored, Scorpio Sky, and Frankie Kazarian, and Private Party, whom I really like, Isaiah Kennedy and Mark Quinn.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the match thoroughly. I thought it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of good spots. I thought it was a great crowd warmer. I'm going to go 3.2.
I enjoyed this match a lot. I thought it was a really good match. I mean, I'm looking at the number, so I can't give you my number, but it was a 3.75. Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment of the match.
Cool.
I thought it was a very good match, and those guys worked really hard in it.
Great. Next match, you got Allie defeated Leva Bates, whom people may know as Blue Pants, with Peter Avalon.
She's a librarian now.
Peter Avalon and Leva Bates are sharing the librarian gimmick, which is kind of funny, and it lends itself to humor. I'm going to give this match a strong 2.
I hated everything about this match.
Okay.
I thought the wrestling was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The gimmick's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They need to reassess this entire concept.
Okay.
I know that you need stupid gimmicks to make
Comedy
things work. They gave this thing a little bit too much time. Dave gave it an 0.5.
Oof.
It's a dud, virtually.
Oof.
A 0.5 for this match. The next match was Jabali, who was the founder of the CEO, I guess, convention or event, versus Michael Nakazawa.
So much fun.
I didn't hate the match as much as a lot of people did. The only issue that I had was AEW is in the moment where they are trying to present a better product. Right? They're trying to present a better product than WWE. They're trying to stand out. They're trying to tell you this is the alternative and it's way better. It's way better than what is being put out there by the other guys. This was not a good example of that. It catered well to the audience in the building. It did not cater well to the people watching.
Okay. Do you think this match was more for people who are really into being the elite and like all that stuff?
Because I think it is. I think it's that silly internet humor.
Yes.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to sound like an old guy. Please. It's like it's meme culture.
Sure.
It's silly gamer humor.
Okay.
It's anime guy. Like it just fit that whole weird internet counterculture thing.
Okay.
That doesn't translate when you have no idea who Jabali is. You don't understand why they're doing the things they're doing. The Lego spot was interesting. That was funny. The baby oil thing. I think it was the wrong.
Well, not because I was a Noah guy, right?
Okay, but no, he's a DDT.
DDT, yeah. So, I mean,
I get
that comes with the territory. If you guys have never watched DDT before, you're getting all kinds of wacky.
But imagine if that is, you know, already there are detractors out there for AEW. You know, there are people that want this to fail. There are people that are on the fence. There are people, you know, because everything is a team sport.
Right.
You know, we're going back to that bizarre mentality where WWE versus WCW.
Right, right, right.
If I'm watching the pre-show, when I'm putting this on, and this is the first thing I see, I'm going to say, what is this?
Okay.
I mean, that guy, it looked really fake. It just looked really fake.
I felt like Jabali reminded me of Mikey Whipwreck.
He kind of did. I saw that tweet that you put out there. Listen, I think it was fine for the building.
Yeah.
For the building, it was great. But, you know, maybe make it a dark match.
Are you putting that much pressure on AEW where you're like, if you want to compete or if you want to be the alternative, you have to hit on all cylinders?
I think that at this moment, they have to be hitting on all cylinders.
Okay.
I had a discussion with somebody this week that is at Turner. Well, at TNT.
Okay.
Apparently, I shouldn't say Turner anymore because it's not Turner, and I'm an idiot for saying Turner, though it's Turner Ignite.
You're conditioned to say that.
Listen, it's like calling WWE New York, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I spoke to a guy. He's over at Warner Media Group. And internally, they were not within certain people in the ad division. They looked at it and said, how do we sell this?
Okay.
Now, you got to also remember that these are people that don't know wrestling. They don't have the tolerance to say, like, okay, I get it. It's a silly angle. Nobody knows who that guy was.
Do you think it was a little more lax? Because A, it was a free show, and B, this was the follow-up to last year's CEO, which Kenny put together pretty much by himself. And if you guys watch it last year, it streamed live on Twitch, and it was the most bare-bones show like you'll ever see.
It was dark. It was like a dark convention.
And plus, it was like, this is the game. Like, I think these two matches work because, like you were saying, the Librarian and the Nakazawa match, because the fans in attendance are more than likely gamers, because this was part of the CEO convention, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of catered to that. And the crowd was hot for the whole thing, you know? I think the Nakazawa stuff was hysterical. However, I do believe this match probably got like a 1.5.
This match did not get a 1.5.
Okay, 6.
This match got a 7 star. This match got a 0.75.
Ooh.
And you know what? I agree. There were moments that I would give it a 1, to be honest. I think there were elements that were entertaining, but I'm looking at it as a complete product. How do you do this? Now, I understand it was the pre-show, and that's fine, but you don't need to have 3 matches on the pre-show. That the Librarian thing should have been held off. That should not have happened. The Jabali thing could have happened. The Best Friends Private Party thing was a great opening match.
How would you compare Private Party to the Street Profits?
There is a almost, major. It's almost the same.
It's almost the same game.
And there was a reason why they were on Raw.
You think it's because of that?
Because Paul Heyman saw it and said, "Okay, I like these guys."
Okay.
Counter programming. That's literally what it was.
Montez is the man, though.
Montez Ford is phenomenal.
Montez is the man.
Yeah, these guys are great. Private Party, I believe Matt Ryan worked with them.
Okay, they are. I think they're local to Brooklyn.
Yeah, local New York guys.
And they were trained by Amazing Red. I want to say.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So next match on the card. That was all the pre-show. You had Seema beat Christopher Daniels. Good back and forth. I'm gonna go 3.
Solid wrestling match.
Yeah.
No glam. No. You know, ballyhoo. With it. It was a really good match. 2.75. A
couple older guys going at it, you know.
Older guys going at it. They wrestled well. 2.75. I think that's a fair assessment.
Rio defeated Yuka Sakazaki and Nyla Rose in a 3-way match. I feel like this one fell a little short for me. I think I'm going to give this one like a 2.6.
I think the match went way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Nyla did a better job this time around. Mm-hmm. Commentary did not do a good job at telling us who these people are.
Right.
Now, some people are going to say, Andrew, you're being very critical of this.
Mm.
I feel like right now we have to be for AEW.
Okay.
Because if we're not and we keep accepting things that aren't good,
it's
going to be really bad. And I don't want this to turn into something that fails. I really want this to work. The talent, Rio is great. She's obviously a very talented athlete, very talented wrestler. I just feel like they need to do a better job at telling the story of who these people are. They did do that. They did do the feud between Yuri?
Yuka.
Sakazaki?
Yuka.
Between Yuka and Rio. They did kind of tell that story, which I liked. I don't know. Nyla... The match just went on too long. Dave gave it 3.5. I think that's a very generous number.
This is us guessing what Meltzer gave. I think the way you and I rate matches is a little different. Especially compared to like a Meltzer.
We watch wrestling very differently.
Yeah, where I'm like, I go more with my emotion. Where I'm like, yeah, you know what, this did it for me. I don't care how technical it was. Like, and some stuff does it for me.
Yeah, and I go based on the marketing and the business aspect of it.
Yeah. Next, you had Adam Page defeating Jimmy Havoc, Jungle Boy with Luchasaurus, and MJF in a 4-way match. I thought this was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Adam Page guy. Jungle Boy, I think, is in the perfect position in his career, and so's Luchasaurus. And I like that team together. MJF has nothing but a bright future ahead of him. Jimmy Havoc's awesome.
MJF was the star of this match.
Yeah. I'm gonna give this a if I had to guess, I would say 3.5.
You are exactly right.
Okay.
I thought MJF was the star of this.
Mm-hmm.
The promo that he cut in the beginning, you gotta remember, MJF is 23 years old.
Yeah.
Right? He's a local kid, Long Island kid.
All young men.
NYWC guy. He's very talented. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to be a big star. I think he outshined everybody. Paige kind of got lost in the match a little. Did you notice that? He wasn't the star of the match.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jungle Boy and MJF.
Yeah.
They were the stars of the match. I would have placed Paige in a different position here. Personally, I think he needs to be profiled in a singles match. We have yet to see him in a singles match.
I think that's tough. You know why?
Why?
Because I feel like before the Jericho thing, before the Kenny coming over, and before Moxley, I really think they were set to position Adam Page at the very top of this roster.
And it got messed up because
of the star power.
Well, you know? No, also they got messed up because Pac got pulled.
That's right.
That was supposed to be his shining moment.
Right. So I just think like they're sitting on him a little bit, which is great for him because like that dude's got a huge upside, you know?
Listen, you know, you added so much time. Like you gave so much time to Allie and Bates, right? You gave that time. You gave that a couple minutes. You had extra time given to Rio and Nyla in that match. You could have cut a little bit and done a Havoc versus Page match.
Right.
And you could have profiled who your star is, who this guy is. You didn't do that. MJF came off as the big star.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the match, though. And I think the last couple of minutes were really good for Paige.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's he wrestling at Fighter Fest? Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen, it's Kip Sabian.
Singles match.
Yeah.
Him and Kip. I think that'll be a good outing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll see what happens there.
Next match, Cody Rhodes with Brandy versus Darby Allin, and they went to a time limit draw. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this match. I really, really enjoy Darby Allin.
So do I.
He's very smooth in the ring. He takes a lot of risks. He really sells people on his psychosis, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 4. Also, it's weird to see, like, Cody, I feel like, is deceptively big.
Cody is deceptively big, and and Allin is very small.
Yeah.
So Cody looked almost like Randy Orton size.
Right, yeah,
you know, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Cody wrestled a WWE style almost in this match.
Nice and safe.
Nice and safe match.
It's what he's good at.
Listen, there was nothing wrong with it. So Darby took some crazy spots. One being that he did like a death fall.
The trust fall.
A death fall. I mean, he could have done. He did a trust fall from the top on the corner of the apron, which we posted on our social media.
Yeah.
That looks so bad, like painfully bad. So at the end, the controversy here was not, I like the time limit draw aspect.
Yeah.
I really do. The controversy here is that at the end of the match,
Sean Spears,
Ty Dillinger showed up.
The 10.
The perfect 10 showed up, and he nailed Cody with a unprotected chair shot to the head.
Right.
Cody went down.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big, giant pool of blood on the back of his head.
Yeah.
I am not one for unprotected chair shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting your hand up is as effective as taking the chair shot. Now, with that said, after the event, the Young Bucks and Tony Khan said that the chair was gimmicked. So what they had done, they had replaced the middle frame of this chair to be almost like the cookie sheet, like a softer, softer chair. But however, the frame of the chair is not. So when he swung it, the cookie sheet bent so much.
It just got clipped Cody
on the back of the head and it cut it. I know. Listen, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and be a martyr for CTE.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are grown men. These are adults.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully aware of consequences when doing stuff like this. They took the proper precautions.
Yeah.
When they did it, they to prevent any kind of damage. An accident happened where he got scraped in the back of the head and he needed stitches.
Yeah.
That is not the same as being bashed in the head and being concussed. I think a lot of people need to take that equation out. They know what they were doing. They weren't doing this to with the intention of hurting each other. They took the proper precautions with the chair.
Right.
And an accident happened. It's the same as saying we shouldn't be doing baseball slides because Neville broke his leg.
Yeah. I think with this specific situation, it's unfortunate that there was the accident with the gimmick chair, but B, it also added more to that feud.
Yes. So on top of that, Han in our chat room says, what do you guys think of the Bucks breaking kayfabe? I'm not for that. I don't think they need to explain and say, by the way, guys, you know this is fake. We know we know it is. We don't need to explain this to people. They don't owe an explanation. If Cody wants to bring this up a month from now or a week from now, they should. I think this is what happens when you listen to social media too much.
Okay.
And you're listening to the vocal minority. And by the way, only the vocal minority knows any of this.
Right.
If you're watching the show and you're not really connected to the internet like we are, you're probably going to be like, oh, he took a chair shot.
But you also had to have been connected to the internet to watch this.
You have to be connected to the internet to watch this. Yeah. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was fun. Who's Cody facing at Fighter Fest? Fight for the Fallen. Too many Fs in this title.
It's the brothers match. Dustin versus the Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks. The Buck Brothers.
The Buck Brothers. So, Generation Me.
Let me ask you. What did you think of the chair shot?
I feel like I have a different perspective. I mean, like, I don't like seeing people get hurt. I understand why they did it. It sucks that the dude got 12 stitches, but I'm glad he also doesn't have concussion. I also think, you know, just being older than when I was watching this stuff as a kid.
You go, oof, now.
Yeah. I'm like, ugh. Like, maybe they shouldn't be doing that because, like, you don't want to, like, scramble your brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, they did the right thing. They took proper precaution and they protected the chair. And you know what? It's as effective as hitting somebody. And I kind of hope that more people learn from this in a way to kind of defend the Bucks, exposing how they did this. I'm hoping that more people start incorporating this because there are people that still do chair shots to the head.
Ugh. Yeah. It's also the different. I feel like we live in a very sensitive age, and I think like this is the one major thing that fans of AEW really poo-pooed on.
They were very upset.
Like, we don't want to see this happen, right? At the same token, I feel like there's, I don't know what the crossover is between people who like this and people who really love CZW and stuff like that, you know, where it's just blood and guts, chair shots and light bulbs, you know?
Yeah.
Next you had, I'll guess a 4 on the Darby Allin match.
3.75.
All right. Next up, you had the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson defeat the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr., and Rey Fénix with Laredo Kid. Right off the bat, really love the Street Fighter entrance.
I fucking loved it.
From Kenny.
I thought it was really cool. The fact that they got the rights to the Street Fighter theme was cool.
I thought it was a great match. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4.3.
4.5. Oh, all right.
Cool.
4.5. I there's not much to say. I thought it was a great match. Mm-hmm. I find what they're doing with Kenny interesting. I understand they need TV to kind of build it.
Yeah.
But do you feel like he's kind of cooled down?
In terms of what?
The Kenny hype.
I think he's enjoying this schedule. I feel like he's so well rested at this point.
I think he's having fun.
Yeah, he's having fun. Yeah. And I really think that Mox Kenny match is gonna be up there,
yeah,
with like his 5+ star matches in Japan.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a great match. I'm reserving a lot of criticism because I want to see TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see that TV. 4.5 star match. It was great. I really enjoyed this tag match. And now we're
They're
at the main
so
event.
Good. They're all yeah. so good.
Every one of those guys in a ring.
So now you have that was the main event, quote unquote. And I feel like fans didn't really pick up on this part where the Mox versus Janela headlined the show, quote unquote, because it was a non-sanctioned match. It wasn't approved by AEW kayfabe.
Did you like how they did it? I loved it. Justin Roberts came on and announced that this is the show's over. Yeah. That was the main event. This is totally separate.
Yeah. Yeah. Janela, like, Janela's another one of those dudes that's, like, completely fascinating. Also, the same thing with the Cody and Darby Allin thing. Until they're in the ring with each other, you don't realize how big Moxley is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's another big guy.
Like, he's another surprisingly big dude. And I thought the match was great. The spots that Janela took were nuts. Mox did a good job of protecting himself because he's got to be in the G1, so he can't really get too banged up, you know?
Yeah.
Which is starting tomorrow in Texas, and then next week he's in it next weekend. Yeah. Really, really loved it. I like the ending with Kenny coming out and destroying Mox. That guitar shot looked brutal.
The guitar shot. Yeah. The guitar shot. Why did I just envision Jeff Jarrett in front of my eyes?
When he hit him with the electric guitar?
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one a 4, if I could guess.
4.25.
All right.
What did you think of the thumbtack spot?
The barefoot thumbtack spot.
Great.
Ooh, so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
You know, but he took it like a champion. All those spots are like nuts. I enjoyed the Mox spitting out the thumbtack.
Yeah, that was good too. Nice after touch on that.
Yeah.
So after Kenny comes and destroys Moxley, they brawl and Kenny got his comeuppance and the show went off the air. Overall, I enjoyed the show. I did not like a lot of aspects of the show, but the parts that I did like, I absolutely loved. This was a, obviously, again, this was almost like a house show, mm-hmm. right? This was not continue. It was to further the storylines, and we have another show mm-hmm. in 2 weeks,
July 13th. Yeah. It's in the next week.
Next week. Jeez.
And that is also the start of the G1, and I believe there's an NXT show that day.
So, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Fight for the Fallen is the AEW show.
July 13th.
WWE will be airing Evolve's 10-year anniversary right. show, and they have stacked the card
so nuts.
With NXT guys.
Yeah.
And it's on the network.
Yeah.
We also have G1 that night. Mm-hmm. So, when is the Dallas show? This week?
Yes.
This Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas is this Saturday. There is also a New Japan show that week. There's also a UFC show. That next week is going to be insane. It's going to be out of this world.
So that Evolve show.
Yeah. You want to go down the card?
Yeah. So you have, just quickly, Eddie Kingston, Joe Gacy, Curt Stallion, Sean Maluda, Stephen Wolf, a lot of like NXT guys.
Eddie Kingston?
Yeah.
The Eddie Kingston?
Eddie Kingston. Babatunde, who's like their big prospect in NXT, versus Colby Carino, Steve Carino's kid.
Colby just did Capital Wrestling.
Austin Theory's involved with this. Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle. And then Adam Cole versus Akira Tozawa for the NXT Championship.
Unbelievable.
That's a great card. And plus, like, obviously, so it's either paying $50 to see Fight for the Fallen.
It's free.
Or if you
Fight for the Fallen is free.
Are you sure?
Yes.
100%. Because really, Spider Fest is free. I think Fight for the Fallen is like $40.
Fight for the Fallen is free.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not a pay-per-view. It's not a super show.
Are you sure?
I'm almost 100%. MG Geek, can you verify this?
I feel like Fight for the Fallen, all the money goes towards gun violence. The victims of gun violence.
I thought the money that's collected from the event. It's free. Yes, it's a free show.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize in that case, but Fight for the Fallen, you're getting Brandy versus Allie.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you saw the last episode of Road to Fight for the Fallen.
No, I haven't seen
it. They really sold Brandy's life at how she used to be a competitive figure skater and always choked on the national scale.
Really?
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
So she's playing that into her having to beat Allie.
Okay.
Right. I think that's a good built-in storyline. Kenny versus Seema. That's going to be another fun match. Probably the sleeper hit of the show.
It'll be a Japanese style match.
Yeah, Cody and Dustin versus the Young Bucks. I'm very much looking forward to that. That's your emotional match. Adam Page versus Kip Sabian, and then I'm looking forward to this match: Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, Joey Janela versus MJF, Sammy Guevara, and Sean Spears.
That's a cool match.
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho's going to be there.
Yes,
Jericho's going to be there, and Moxley's going to be there. No, Moxley's not there.
No, he's in
Japan.
He's in Japan.
He's in Japan that weekend. Yeah, so very, very interesting card. So we got the Evolve card, we got the New Japan stuff. Do you want to go through the New Japan card for this weekend?
Give me like
Dallas?
2 seconds.
Cause... Yeah, while you do that, I do want to go through the ratings, the actual viewership numbers and notes for this.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the current numbers that we have for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Outside North America, the show was broadcasted on Fight TV. It did about 14,000 buys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good number considering nobody expected Double or Nothing numbers to be on that level. Double or Nothing did 20,000 outside the U.S., by the way. So that's the number that we have.
Mm-hmm.
AEW, I had the numbers here and I literally closed it out like an idiot. They did around 350,000 viewers for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that would mean about, you know, a majority of them had signed up for this. Mm-hmm. You know, they signed up for BR Live. But they had 140,000 unique concurrent at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
So there were half those people checked in at one point and then left. But the total view hours show that people were watching for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think the 140,000 mark is more of the real, it would be the number that we use, not the 350. And that's exactly on par, exactly what I had predicted that they would do, about 150,000 for this. Remember, no TV, no nothing. But the fact that 350,000 people tuned in on a Saturday for a product that has no TV is a very good sign at where their numbers will be when they get the when they get on TV. I'm still sticking to my 750,000 viewers number that I had gone with, you know, half a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that that is a true number. I think it's good. I think it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very good sign of things to come. I don't expect Fight for the Fallen to do those numbers, though.
Okay.
It's too soon. It's really too soon for for a show to go on, but I understand why they're doing it, because they need something. They need to build up to the next show. I do think they're going to do really well on pay-per-view for All Out.
I agree with that. I think that's going to do big bucks.
I think that'll do 150,000 buys again. By the way, 150,000 buys is a great number when you're paying $50 a head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do that math, somebody.
So this July 6th is the official first day of this year's G1 Climax tournament.
Yes.
Which takes place in Dallas. Which is cool.
Yeah. Right? And there's a big selling point to the show.
I think the whole show is the selling point. But so this is going to be available on Access and New Japan World, right?
Live on Access, yeah.
Yeah. And this is this coming weekend, a couple of days. Guerrillas of Destiny, Roppongi 3K, tag team match. Shota Umino and Ishii versus Narita and Jeff Cobb, tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Jeff Cobb is a flat earther.
Oh my God, did you hear that interview? And then he also said he's not a smart guy. I just gotta stop. Why is he a flat earther?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
I know a dude who's a flat earther.
A real deal.
Like, I don't.
He believes
it. He's an acquaintance. He's not a friend.
But he believes it.
He believes it. Yeah.
Oh man, come on, guys.
Yoshihashi at Goto versus Chase Owens, Andrew's favorite wrestler of all time. Ugh. And Jay White.
Yoshihashi.
You have your two favorite wrestlers, Yoshihashi and Chase Owens, in this match.
I like Chase Owens.
Jushin Liger, Juice Robinson, Toriyano versus Bushi, Shingo, and Naito. Great. Will Ospreay versus Lance Archer.
Okay.
I'm kind of looking forward to that because I feel like Lance Archer, this is like Lance Archer's second chance.
Yeah, this is his moment.
You know, also I tweeted out, nobody gave a shit about this morning, but I tweeted out, I hope that Billy Gunn and Will Ospreay tag team together and call themselves the Aerial Ass Men. Evil versus Bad Luck. Great. Sonata versus Zack Jr. Awesome.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi versus Kenta.
Great.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait for that.
Did you read the Kenta interview?
No. What was it?
He was saying that he pretty much spun his wheels in WWE and that he wanted to show the world what his style of wrestling was, but was pulled in too many directions.
Yeah. And
so it now
messed with his head.
He's in New Japan basically because of, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Shibata. And that he wants to be able to show the world his like new strong style, basically.
Interesting. I'm excited for that.
I think for his first match back, Ibushi is probably the best dude to do it.
Yeah, because Ibushi is very gentle.
Yeah.
He can be very gentle with you.
They're going to murder each other. And the headliner, Okada versus Tanahashi.
And by the way, this may be one of the final times we see Okada Tanahashi.
You think
in
so?
In a singles match. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we have too many Okada Tanahashis left.
We've been saying Tanahashi's going to take a break for the last 2 years, and this dude is still on, like, every major show.
But he's in so much pain. He's walking like Muda.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, his knees are done, his elbow's done, his bicep's bad.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is unbelievable, and he's pretty much one of the main reasons why he saved New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his run as main guy was what kind of brought it back. But
the ace.
He really, I'm very excited for that match. Listen, phenomenal card. I don't know how I'm going to choose what I'm going to watch.
Are you a flat earther?
I want to be. I really wish it's real. I really do. I really want the earth to be flat. I want there to be an edge where we could just fall off. Because I will go to that edge immediately and just jump.
But you'd come back like in Mario Galaxy.
Is that how it is?
Fall off the edge and just like.
Is that what happens?
Zoom back to the top.
Do you know the whole thing that, like, Antarctica surrounds the Earth on the flat? It's flat,
God.
And Antarctica is around, and that prevents all the water from falling out.
Is this the first Thor movie?
Yeah, I did.
So when they show Asgard for the first time, it's flat and it's in outer space. So it's like a flat thing. And I assume that's what flat earthers think
is
Earth, you know? I want to know more about this.
Flat Earth?
Yeah.
We should do some research.
We went to the moon and we took pictures of Earth.
It's not real. No,
and
we
it's
didn't.
Round.
Yeah, but we didn't go to the moon, dude.
Do you believe in that's, the Stanley Kubrick conspiracy?
I believe that that's what a lot of the flat earthers believe, that we never went to the moon.
Uh-huh.
And every image that we see is flat. It's uh-huh. not it's we don't see a globe. We just see a flat image.
Ah.
Uh-huh. That's
so
the
so fascinating.
So fascinating that is the energy. We are a society with no problems, right? Like we think of like I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it in a thought provoking way.
Yeah.
We are such a society with no issues. Life is so good that we have to come up with theories that the earth is flat and make big deals on gender pronouns.
Yeah.
Right? Like imagine our great grandparents, the people of the Great Depression, and what kind of struggles they had. What kind of conversations, what they had to do to think and survive. There's a man out there saying that the earth is flat. That is his thought-provoking moment. That is what he is thinking about every day.
Well,
Not do I have to eat my leather shoe for dinner.
I was talking to my best friend a couple of weeks ago, and I brought that up, and I was like, what do you think George Washington and those guys would say when they see all the weird shit that's going on in the world today? And his response was so astute and perfect. He was like, I think they'd be more concerned that we're surrounded by skyscrapers and big buildings.
Yeah.
Because nothing was over, like, you know, you had a hat, like the White House or whatever. You had, like, a building that's maybe,
yeah, they
like,
didn't have skyscrapers made out of glass.
Right, you know, or
rockets.
Or metal planes flying overhead or cars or anything. And I'm like, you know what, that's a good perspective to have, like, George Washington showing up and being like, what's that building? What's that silver eagle in the sky?
There's also a theory that the moon is a projection.
Oh, yes.
I hope all this is true, guys. I really
don't you
do.
Want it to,
I want this all to
don't
be.
Don't you want to be wrong?
I want, like, I want someone to be like, hang on, check this out. I'm in Manhattan. Someone just pulls the curtain down, and it's just a soundstage. We're just living in the void.
Show?
Yeah, we just live in a void.
Don't you want to be wrong so bad where you're like, huh, I guess the earth is flat, and I guess the moon is a projection.
Yeah.
And it's made of cheese.
The moon is made out of cheese. By the way, we just aged ourselves because that is not a thing that kids today know.
No.
Like 20-year-olds have no idea that the moon is made out of cheese.
No, it is. Guys, if you're listening and you're under 20, the moon is made of cheese.
It is. All right. Back to wrestling.
You know who else is made of cheese?
Who else?
Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb is made out 100% out of cheese. Also, on Sunday, a little reminder, Slammiversary is in Dallas.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be on traditional pay-per-view and Fight TV. Brian Cage versus Mike Elgin for the Impact World Championship. Four-way Monsters Ball match for Impact Knockouts title. Taya versus Rosemary. Sue Young and Jessica Havoc. Impact X Division Championship. Rich Swann versus Johnny Impact. Impact World Tag Team Championship. The Rascals versus LAX. First Blood match. Killer Cross, Eddie Edwards. Moose versus Rob Van Dam. Sami Callihan versus Tessa Blanchard!
You know, I gotta say, if this was 1994, or maybe 1993, a Brian Cage versus Mike Elgin would be
a headlining match everywhere.
Would be Vince McMahon's wettest dream.
Yeah, big juicy guys.
They are big juicy guys.
Big juicy guys.
Like, you see how big Brian Cage is, man. That guy is jacked.
I saw him
shredded.
I saw him wrestle like 2 years ago in person.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's not. It's way bigger than you think it is. It by him. That's the noun. That's a pronoun I use.
He's so massive and monstrous that you have to call him it.
Yeah, he's it.
Yeah. I think like that's like a weird thing too, because sometimes you see these guys and you're like, oh, these guys are huge. How come Vince didn't sign them?
You know?
And then you look at like a Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman and be like, well, these guys are a little bit bigger, you know?
Oh, let's talk about Raw.
This was
Paul Heyman's first show. I have to tell you, his fingerprints were all over this show. That Braun segment in the beginning of Raw was really well done.
It looked like it hurt. It really did.
It looked like it hurt. It was really well done.
And Corey screaming holy shit was hysterical.
Corey screaming holy shit at 8:08 p.m. was great. It made you think. It made you say, wow, Paul, he knocked it out of the park. There were a lot of great stuff on the show. The Ricochet AJ Styles stuff was great. The club being back is great.
I like that.
I really enjoyed Joe and
War Raiders.
Kofi. Yeah. And the War Raiders. I thought it was a really well done show. The Undertaker.
Even the Drake Maverick stuff, like him bringing his wife to Raw and like
well done.
He's a good ace up their sleeve.
Yeah, he's very good. I enjoyed the show. The show did 2.4 million views.
Mm.
This is the third week. Now it's almost becoming a trend. After 6 weeks of 6 weeks of anything, it becomes a trend, good or bad. We're at week three. Let's see if we'll keep it up.
Cesaro beat No Way Jose.
Yeah, like beat him.
Yeah.
Like just
beat him up.
Just beat him up.
Debut of the Street Profits, which I really liked.
Yeah, Street Profits are there.
Montez Ford, man. Telling you.
Guy, he's very talented. So, little bit about the ratings, however.
Yeah.
The number of homes tuning in did not go up significantly.
Uh-huh.
The amount of people watching per home went up.
Mm-hmm.
So, a dad's watching. The teen kid is watching with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what went up. This was the first... Was this the first Monday since school ended? For the Northeast?
I don't know.
Yes. This was the first Monday that school was over.
Mm-hmm.
So there were more people watching longer time because there was no school the next day, which played a part in this. But teen viewership went up and did not go away.
Mm-hmm.
Same with teenage girl viewership. Went up and did not go away.
That's us.
That's us. So I thought it was good. SmackDown, however, those ratings did not translate to SmackDown.
It didn't
SmackDown
carry over.
Had I think the fourth lowest rating of all time,
and it was another tight show. It's very interesting.
It was okay. It wasn't a great show though.
No,
it wasn't great.
Yeah. The Kevin Owens stuff was the highlight of the show.
That was good. The finger was interesting,
and that was KO turning face.
KO was turning face.
Yeah, because it's he's so good that it's that quick. That Ziggler promo, which felt scripted, was immediately stopped by that KO promo. Which seemed like is he that good that it seems like it's off the cuff?
KO?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's that good. It seems off the cuff. Now,
the hot dog eating contest line was great.
I really don't want to see Dolph Ziggler anymore.
Well, why would you?
I really don't want to see Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. It's the death of me.
In this capacity, it's okay, you know, but I always get cringy when they tease you with like that weird flip flop of him getting the belt,
but they constantly do that with him.
Yeah,
it's so and Kevin Owens said it was over 8 years ago for you.
Amazing,
you had your chance 8 years ago and you blew it. I do want to say WWE is giving 2-for-1 tickets for Extreme Rules.
Yeah, and that's on my birthday.
On one of its strongest markets in Philly.
Should I have an extreme birthday party?
You want to have an extreme birthday party? Can you just have like chairs and
light
wire and light bulb fluorescent tubes? I'm very surprised by this, that they are not able to sell tickets for Extreme Rules for a pay-per-view in a very good market.
Yeah.
Not a good sign of things, but maybe Paul Lee being involved now, it might be a good sign. Eric was not at SmackDown. Eric won't be starting till
the Fox move.
No. He won't be starting till after Extreme Rules.
Okay.
So, I want to get your opinion. What do you make of Eric Bischoff coming back and kind of running the helm for SmackDown?
I'm fine with that. Like, that was a weird bit. And, like, we didn't do the show last Thursday because I was, like, sick in bed. And the first thing I saw when I woke up was a news blip about Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman taking over the reins of, like, Raw and SmackDown as executive whatevers. And I texted it to you, and you were like, what?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I think it's a great move. I think these are two guys that have a good track record. But people were kind of poo-pooing on the Bischoff thing, saying, just tweeting out Hogan gifts, saying, like, he's going to bring Hogan back to SmackDown, which he probably will.
I hope so.
You know, SmackDown needs it, right?
I hope he brings the NWO back. I hope.
You know, he's
like, executive director.
Yeah.
Okay, that's his title. We got to talk about Maria Kanellis also. That's another thing we got to talk about. That was Paul Lee, by the way, before we get into SmackDown and Eric. The Maria Kanellis angle, you know what it reminded me of? I'm pregnant.
Oh, the ECW.
It's thing. Tommy's. It's Tommy's.
Yeah.
That's the best reaction I've ever seen in my life by Joey Styles.
Yeah.
It's Tommy's. Like, Tommy? it really reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of that was had to be. I'm not. I heard two different accounts of this, but it was very much Paul. But you know what's really funny? This is the second time Maria Kanellis has gotten signed to a contract, and she's gotten pregnant.
Cool.
I am very curious if this is their scam.
Oh, my God.
They signed a five-year contract, both of them, with WWE, meaning that they would be in their mid-40s
when they
leave, or early 40s when they're done with their contract. It was a higher rate than before. Five-year contract. Also, Gallows and Anderson, I believe they have signed a five-year contract.
Listen.
So they are, I mean, they're going to end their careers with WWE.
It makes sense. I had this conversation with a buddy of mine. At the end of all, people are like, I'm trying to phrase this as succinctly as possible. The thing with wrestling fans, and we're guilty of this too, is that you automatically think like, yo, these guys are going to AEW, you know? They're not. Most of these guys are not. Like, if you're Gallows and Anderson, two guys who have a pedigree in tag team wrestling, who don't want to make the trips to Japan constantly or anywhere else, they have families, kids they got to worry about. It's one thing to be used poorly, but it's another thing to get what you want. And I think it looks like these guys are getting what they want, right? Also, with Heyman being the Raw guy, I definitely think these guys are going to get the push that we all want.
I think we're going to see a push, but you got to remember, 5 years from now, Carl Anderson is 40. Yeah. He's going to be 45 years old. He's going to wrap his career up over there. He's not going anywhere else.
The other thing is,
I hope they push them
the
way we would want them to push. Tim Anger, $30. Sorry, I haven't been, I've been gone.
Thanks, Tim.
Handling family business. Happy fourth to you. You know what? You just bought us our burgers for today.
We're glad you're back, baby.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm having lemonade.
Nice. But here's the thing. Like, I was telling my friend, I'm like, at the end of the day, with everybody who's signing, you may end up with a company that's full of Mojos, Jinders, Curt Hawkinses, you know, like the guys who are like company men who have a career in WWE and won't want to go anywhere. And people are clamoring for Seth to leave. That's not going to happen. Yeah. You know, people are clamoring for the Revival to leave. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Or the New Day, you know,
because they're
getting anybody who has TV time. More than likely, will not leave. You know who's the one guy who I can see bouncing?
Who?
Nakamura.
Nakamura signed.
Did he really? He re-signed?
He re-signed.
What about Rusev?
I don't know about Rusev.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think Rusev could do well outside. But listen, guys, you know, you also have to remember, these guys are big celebrities. They're megastars.
Right.
Sometimes you got to think, like, sometimes that's enough for people.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting about $500,000 or more a year.
Recognizing the airport.
Recognize, you know, they're on TV. Do they want to take the chance and leave to a brand that is not, it's not proven.
Or even back on the indies.
And then have to come back to WWE. I think for some people, it's worth a risk. I think for other people, it's not. AEW should not be looking at WWE guys to go over there. I do think they need one big name. They need another big name to go.
Besides,
AJ would have been the guy, I would have said. Nakamura would have been the guy. I was very convinced Nakamura was going to go, but he just wants to surf.
The window is also closed on that CM Punk return, I think.
I don't think so.
There's a fraction of that window.
I think that window is more open now than it ever was.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's, I think that window is more open now. I'm not saying he's going there or showing up, but if there is an opportunity, it's going to happen now.
The only thing, like, I wouldn't say main roster guys, but I would definitely think NXT guys would be frustrated and jump ship, you know, like Kenta's a good example.
I think that's always the worst reason to jump ship, being with frustration. Kenta had no other choice. What happened with Kenta, and I'm going to defend WWE here because I've heard from people internally, he got in his own head.
Okay.
When I was previously working, I have all these marketing ideas. This is what I'm good at. I'm a good marketer. I lost all confidence that I had, and I was useless, essentially. I had to leave. I had to get out of there because it was killing me.
Yeah.
I lost all creative ability because I got too in my head to not do what I got hired to do.
Right.
The same thing happened with him. He also got hired at that early NXT time, with like Kevin Owens and all those guys, like when they were doing that big transition over.
Let's change their names.
And yeah, they were doing the changing of the names and changing of the styles and all that stuff. I think if he came in later, like he came in, like beyond, and also remember when he came in, what was that group. That group was tremendous. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. It was all those guys.
Finn.
It was all those guys.
Yo, what's up?
Idiot Deacon's here.
What's up, Big Deke? How you doing? He heard we were talking about Sami Zayn, and he wanted to skank into the room.
He's being a creeper.
He ate all the cheeseburgers.
So, you know, they... We'll see what happens, but yeah. Kenta was... He had to go. It was time. Yeah. But, you know, you had AJ Styles. He would have been a great opportunity. They obviously, Styles wanted to stay, and I knew Styles was going to stay because he's happy.
Yeah.
The guy became WWE champion.
He's a star. Bonafide.
This is a guy that was offered $55,000 in 2013 to go to NXT.
Right.
Or 2014, 2013.
Whatever it was.
Whatever it was. The guy went to Japan, busted his ass, reinvented his career. Mm-hmm. Ended up going to WWE in one of the biggest debuts in WWE history, became WWE champion the same year, multiple-time WWE champion, has been headlining, has been a main player since showing up.
Yeah.
The guy, and he's 40.
Workhorse.
He's 42 years old. And why would he ever leave?
And also got signed amidst the rumors of him having a bad back.
And he does have a bad back, yeah. And he has a bad shoulder, and the guy is working... I mean, he should be so proud of his career, and everybody watching wrestling, you know, he's a great example of a guy that put in his time and he did the grind and he got rewarded for it. It's great.
Absolutely.
I'm curious to see if Balor joins with Gallows and Anderson and
different
Styles.
Brands.
Doesn't matter. He could remember
that wild card wild card nonsense.
So we'll see what happens with that.
We're in kind of like another one of those interesting stages where it's like there's so much wrestling. Let's see what happens. Now, the Bischoff and Heyman move was not made out of desperation. I think this is something that like needed to happen.
It was up for stock for the investors
and probably a long time coming too. You know, but I did hear a rumor that SmackDown wanted Heyman.
I heard the complete opposite.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there is a. You know, when you look at, if you're a stock investor, right, if you're a major investor and you're looking at this and you're an analyst, you're saying, oh, my God, Vince brought the only two other promoters that competed with him.
Right.
You know, that were aggressively there. These are people that we see once in a lifetime in wrestling. And we had, you know, Paul Heyman, and we'll analyze. Paul's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Eric is 65 years old. Mm-hmm. Which he doesn't look it, by the way.
No, Eric looks
phenomenal.
It's the karate.
Eric Bischoff is in his mid-60s. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's signing a 3 to 5 year deal.
Let's see.
Meaning he's going to be 70 by the end of his contract. Eric is not as young as people think. Paul, however, has two teen kids. Paul has always had his finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm. Eric is 64.
64. He's going to be 65, though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's how he
This
works.
Year or next year?
His birthday is May 27th.
Okay, he just turned 64. So, you now have a guy, and by the way, I'm an Eric, I'm not saying this to criticize Eric, I think Eric is very intelligent, I think he's a good business guy, I think a lot of people crap on Eric for things that were beyond his control with WCW. I think he has always been villain, he's been villainized because he played a heel on TV, and he's so good at being unliked that it worked, and also he had to deal with a lot of disgruntled wrestlers.
Yeah.
So when you look at Eric Bischoff and you say, okay, can he put together a product that appeals to this generation of wrestling fan? I don't know, because the last year of success that he had in wrestling was 1998.
Yeah.
21 years ago. That's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So he's unproven. Paul's been there. He's been working on stories. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, all these storylines are Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. Do you think Eric Bischoff will be successful?
Yes.
Leading SmackDown?
Absolutely.
You're seeing not an artificial bump for because of Fox, but a genuine increase to the product.
I think the guy knows what he's doing. I do think both men may have had their missteps, more like Paul with not being forthcoming about the demise of ECW, but Bischoff also losing guys that became gigantic stars, you know? So, like, most guys have their ups and downs. I do think from a marketing standpoint, Bischoff probably gets along better in that corporate environment.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a very good, he plays the game very well.
Yeah, yeah.
This also, you know, a lot of I saw the rumors and I we didn't do a show last week. A lot of people were reporting that Triple H was Triple H was denied the position.
I'm sad
for SmackDown.
Yeah,
why would he want a demotion?
Right.
That is a step down from this guy is running the global expansion for WWE.
Yeah.
He's running NXT. He's putting together a great product. He's part of creative. He's running the business. Why would he be considered to run SmackDown?
Right.
There are so many other people that could fit that role. The other thing is the excuse that I read, and I disagree with Dave Meltzer. He goes, well, Hunter can't have a failure because he is going to take the realm, the helm, when Vince goes away.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how they're thinking. I think they're thinking, why would we need to utilize him in a different capacity? Mm-hmm. This is below him.
Yeah.
He's on the top. He's not. Why would we give him SmackDown? Mm-hmm. That was Road Dogg's job.
Right.
So I think the Triple H stuff, that this is speculation and rumors. There's no truth to that. Maybe it was thought of within people, like who could take over SmackDown? Well, Hunter can.
Yeah.
I don't think he was really considered for that. There were other names considered, but I think Bischoff is a very interesting pick. I'm curious how on screen he will be.
True. Look at also for Triple H, look at the slow burn that NXT has been, and that's his baby, right?
Years and years and years.
Years and years of building stars. And now not only is it his baby, you have him, Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, X-Pac showing up. All your DX guys are showing up at NXT trying to mold these future stars, you know? And I think that's something that you can't do on a SmackDown, you know? And that's exactly what Triple H needs to do because he's had the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows within the company, right?
I think Bischoff should come out of his first show and he's going to say, I've heard the rumors. I heard you guys are not happy with me in the back. You guys think I'm going to do something stupid. You guys think I'm going to do something ridiculous. I heard all the criticism. I heard all my detractors. Well, I'm going to do something that this brand needs. And here comes Hall and Nash. Okay, NWO, here comes Hogan. And then he grabs the mic and he goes, the gang is back. And then he goes, fooled you. He goes, what do you think? I'm an idiot? I just want this. By the way, isn't Spooky Fingers the death of any promo? I'm cutting a promo on you, and I go like this to you, and you're like, oh, fuck.
You mean if I was cutting a promo on you?
Yeah, and I just go, that. Yeah, it's over, it's dead.
It's done. You can't come back for Spooky Fingers.
I don't think he's going to be GM, by the way.
You should do that in real life. Like, the next time Jesse yells at you, just be like,
I'm going to do it to her today. Let's see what happens. I'm going to do something to make her yell at me. It's not difficult.
I don't think it is very difficult.
Guys, let's do our Q&A. Q&A segment here.
Quiznos and Arby's.
Give me your questions and we will do our best to answer them. This regarding rumors, speculation, news.
Or just questions like last time.
Or just questions. Oh, by the way.
We still didn't see Rocket Man.
Let me touch on this. So how many weeks ago did I mention that there's going to be a hot summer angle?
Like 2 months ago.
2 months ago. So I want to correct the wording. I went back. And I still believe it is Angle, but I'm going to to clear things up because I've been asked the entire week, is Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff the hot summer angle that you were talking about? I still don't know if that is or that's not. I was never told the story, and the person that I was in contact with has not responded to my email.
Okay.
So the words that were used were, there's something big that's going to happen on WWE TV this summer, leading it into the fall season.
Okay.
Those were the exact words. I interpret that and use the wording hot summer angle.
Sure.
That's how I worded it. I'm assuming it means the same thing. Or he meant that Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman are coming. I don't assume it's Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman because I don't think this was 2 months ago that Eric Bischoff was considered for this. I'm still standing by that is not the story. I will probably find out in the coming weeks what is and what's not, but I still believe it is happening, and we're in the beginning of this.
Okay.
We're in the beginning of this hot summer angle. Second, you, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, when Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis signed, you turned around and you said, I have the best storyline for this. Maria cucks Mike Bennett. How? And you laid out, apparently.
Yeah.
The cuck angle. You laid out exactly what happened on TV where she gets pregnant by some other guy.
Somebody's listening.
And you had said it was going to be, but, okay, that is what you had said. You called this, and I was shocked because so many people messaged me, go, oh my God, Rich was right. I didn't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people like actually like transcribe exactly what you said. You laid out the entire Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis thing mm-hmm. about her being pregnant and demasculating him. So very impressed by
I got a secret for you.
Yeah.
I'm Mets fan forever.
You're a Mets fan forever.
It's
I
me.
Knew it.
No.
I knew it. All right. Let's answer your questions here.
Give us your questions.
Impact is going to Access, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard Access was very interested.
Interesting.
They want to have more wrestling on, the women's wrestling that they have. I forgot the name of the company. I'm so sorry, but... they have New Japan, they have that, and now they are going to have Impact on there. They've been toying with the idea of wrestling for a while with Ring of Honor when they were on there. I think this is a good move for them. Access has accessibility that Pursuit doesn't. Access was not the big name in negotiation with them. There was another big name. You could assume what it is. If I was a smart boy, I would say it was Paramount. Only if I'm a smart boy, I'm going to say that. If I'm a dumb boy, I'm going to say not Paramount. But they had other bidders, and Access won them over. I don't know anything beyond the deal. The deal is not signed, but it's good as done. So I'll say that.
I think the Hot Summer angle, going back to that for a second, it's either these are my three picks. A, something to do with The Undertaker.
Wait a minute. It's not angle. It's ankles. Hot Summer ankles.
B, B, Rousey's return.
Okay.
Like a wacky Seth Rollins story.
We may get all three.
I think we're going to get all three.
I think we might get all three. All right. By the way, I hate the Becky and Seth stuff.
You don't like the couple stuff?
They come off so unnatural and uncomfortable doing this. You could tell that they are not comfortable being a couple on TV.
They're both company people, but whatever. I mean, like, it's interesting. It's stupid at the same time, but that's okay. That's what wrestling is, right? Okay.
Will Maria Kanellis give birth on live TV to boost ratings? Sounds like a Paul Lee thing. As long as it's a hand, I would be okay with this.
It's going to be the other hand.
Yeah. Why wasn't Hornswoggle considered for the Raw and SmackDown position Paul E. and Eric got? That's a great question. Because AJ Styles is filling the role of Hornswoggle on WWE TV right now.
Oh, 100%.
They look like they're the same guy now.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to Kevin Nash, how sexy are Andrew's biceps?
Writing?
Disco Inferno.
Let's see.
It's a good bicep. All you do is bicep.
That's all I do. I have not worked out my bicep in a while.
There's one. You only do left.
You know what? Yeah, but look at my right. My right arm is dead.
You only do left. That's it.
Let's see. Can I get on? There we go. There we go.
I feel bad for people who are tuning in right now.
You know what this is?
That's a hand.
I carry the babies with this hand.
Like a circus performer.
Yeah, like this. That's
like
all I do.
Man. Nicholas Quinn, August 31st, NXT TakeOver, NJPW Royal Quest in London, or AEW All Out or All On. If you could go to one of them, which would you go to and why?
August 31st, NXT, New Japan. Is NXT in London?
No. New Japan's in London.
I would go to NXT.
I'd go to New Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I feel like I have a more vested interest in just watching New Japan in London. I've never been in London. Matthew Ames, what happens to the brand split / wild card? Now we have Heyman, Eric. Surely they need to clearly make each show look different and stand alone. Yeah.
Oh, the new sets being built, by the way, for both shows.
And this was the excuse of Braun and Lashley destroying it.
Oh,
right?
I don't know. But a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned that they're doing a new set. And I had no idea that maybe it's going to debut now. I don't think it should debut now. I think it should debut in the fall. I think it's a waste of time in the summer to debut it. Debut with a big bang. New season starts.
Okay.
What happened to the split? I think that's a great question. I think they realized that they didn't have enough talent. And the ratings were hurting because of the split. I'm 50-50 on the split.
Yeah.
I think initially when they do the split, it's great. It profiles people for like 2 years.
Right.
And then it gets stale because you've seen all that they could do, and you're preventing different angles from happening because there's this imaginary wall there. I think the fact that there's a it's a wild card and people go back and forth, that's fine. The only thing I would want to do is keep the titles. The champion stays on the brand, and everybody else could go in and out.
Yeah. I do think, because people were clamoring for Balor joining the club, I do think you're going to get a Balor-Ricochet team up before Extreme Rules.
By the way, Paul is very high on Ricochet.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing, too. So WWE is afraid of losing their teen demographic, right? So, to AEW.
And he does very well with Ricochet.
And you have a guy like Ricochet who will appeal to anybody from like 14 to like 22.
Yeah.
And older, you know? Yeah. Is Eric Bischoff the father of Maria's baby?
No, it's Maria's baby is Eric Bischoff.
Serious question. Is there anything from Green Lives Matter? Is there anything in WWE that has been drawing a paycheck for doing nothing just like JTG?
I'm sure there is. Who has not been doing anything on WWE TV?
Mojo's been showing up every so... But I mean, like, I think the JT... Because we had JTG on the show a while ago. You guys could look that up. It's one of our... That was one of my favorite interviews, by the
way. Was it?
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You don't.
I do remember we had JTG on. He was a nice guy.
But when he was saying, he was like, I would just show up. And like, yeah. They didn't even know I was there, you know, kind of thing. I don't know, man. That roster is so deep at this point.
It's very deep. I'm sure there's plenty JTGs on the card at this point.
I feel like No Way Jose... before the 24/7 title, he disappeared. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nakamura disappeared for a little bit. Like, Rusev, too. Like, guys just kind of,
Rusev's
like,
at home, yeah.
Disappeared. Like, Gallows and Anderson were not on TV at all.
And there was a couple of those. Is not Finn Balor the IC champion?
Right.
Then where is Finn Balor? And more importantly, where's the IC? I think that's a great question. I don't know.
Who knows?
The split means more if two shows are completely different, which is why actually happened to Paul Heyman. Fox is not okay with the top stars not being on the show.
Right.
And USA feels the same. So this wild card is to appease everybody.
Hysterical.
I don't know what the plan going forward with this would be. If you both could predict 1 year from now, after AEW's TV debut and everything else being considered, where do you see the culture of wrestling headed? That's a great question. You go first, Rich.
That's a little bit of a loaded question just because I do think... Whoa.
Oh, no. It died. Ah, there we go.
I do think wrestling has always been wrestling, right? It's always been pro wrestling. Culturally, I mean, it's we've had this, like, for the last few years, it's quote-unquote cool to be a wrestling fan again.
Yeah.
I think we're headed for, like, another peak. Because we've been at like kind of a peak and it's been stable. I think we may be headed for another peak, but I'm hoping the competition makes everybody step up their game. And also you have very interesting things. So like the demise of Lucha Underground.
Right? Yeah. Ring of Honor
kind
terrible.
Of fizzling. But then you have AEW, Impact's on the rise. New Japan is probably the most solid.
Well, New Japan went down because they lost a lot, but they've been able to hold on and maintain.
Yeah, they're probably the most solid form of pro wrestling.
New Japan pivots better than anybody else.
100%.
They're very good at pivoting when they. I mean, they pivoted when they lost AJ Nock and Gallows and Anderson.
Pivoted when they lost Kenny.
They pivoted when they lost Kenny and the Young Bucks. I mean, they're making moves and they're pivoting. I think they're very quick with reaction, and the reactions are not impulsive. It's very strategic, which helps.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
A year from today, that's a great question. The prediction is that there's going to be a renaissance, and we're going to have a big wrestling boom. But WWE getting a little bit more adult is a sign of things to come. I think it's a very good direction. I think AEW will only grow.
Yeah.
Unless they do something really stupid and it fails miserably, and we'll know AEW's success within 8 months.
Absolutely.
We'll know how successful this will be. I don't know. I think this is... Oh, by the way, Cain Velasquez is wrestling for AAA now.
Really?
And he's teaming up with Cody.
Is he Cody Rhodes?
Yes.
Like Cody?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Cain is going to have his first wrestling match in AAA. Mm-hmm. And he's teaming with Cody.
I thought you meant Cody Hall.
Cody Hall. No, Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I could see him going to AEW.
Sure.
This guy's 36 years old. He's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
He fought Brock Lesnar. He's 6'1.5". I thought he was bigger.
We had a real life question here from Jamie
Cole. Yeah, go ahead.
Question. Do you flip burgers and smash, or just let them sit?
I'm a big fan of smash burgers.
Ooh.
I like smashing my burgers.
Okay.
I don't like a big, big thick burger.
Interesting.
My personal preference. I like a thin, smashed, greasy burger.
I'm cool with that, but as far as like a barbecue goes, what I've been doing lately is I'll make like a nice big patty.
Ice.
I'll thumb the top a little bit.
I thumb
the top. Put an ice cube on it to let it be juicy. I don't smush it at all, and I just let it flip. And I put
the
cheese
on it. Do you
do
that on the grill or just in the pan?
Both.
Because I've never done.
We want to make both today?
Yeah, let's make both. Wow.
So
test us. Oh, there we go.
Also, that's how I do it, Jamie. We're gonna be making burgers. A little bit of
we should start
kebab.
Taking videos and stuff.
Oh my god, we're gonna.
Oh, I want cigars too. Let me tell Coco to bring cigars.
Yeah. Oh my god, we're gonna.
You're gonna smoke cigars?
Effed up today. I'll smoke a cigar.
Okay.
What would you do? Green Lives Matter. What would you do to fix Ring of Honor?
They have fallen so far from where they were. I think they need to realize that they need to concentrate on talent and storylines. They don't concentrate on storylines. They relied on New Japan for so long, and New Japan lost all their top guys, and now they're left with nobody.
I would rethink their merger. Not merger, but I would rethink their strategy to say, okay, who can we partner up with? You know what I mean? And maybe turn themselves into more of a farm system like ECW was for WWE. You know, if they were like, this is what we have. We know you guys have evolved, but we can also add to your rosters in the future. You know? And put themselves in that position. Because, like, there is nobody on that Ring of Honor roster that's terrible.
No, you know? Nobody, no.
And Ring of Honor is, you know, great. They've come a long way. However, they got gutted. And it seems like they're low on the radar for people who want to sign.
And they also didn't shift. I think Marty's regretting he extended his contract with Ring of Honor. I think that was really bad. He's leaving soon, so we'll see what happens when he shows up. That'll be a big deal.
But
anyway.
Villain Enterprise is probably the hottest thing that Ring of Honor has.
I know,
right?
I know.
PCO, Brody King, Flip now.
Yeah.
And Marty. You know, those are your four best dudes. And I can honestly see Brody King leaving for greener pastures.
Yeah. Taven as champion is death. Matt Taven as champion.
He's been
terrible.
There for so damn long.
There's nothing interesting about him. Yeah. I hear Coco's here. So let's wrap it up. Guys, thank you for tuning in.
Marty Gennardi.
Marty Gennardi.
Coco's
here, so we're gonna go start grilling. We'll have some pictures posted on our social media. Mattman Podcast on Twitter, Mattman Podcast on Instagram, Mattman Podcast on Facebook. Remember to subscribe to us. Hit that subscribe button here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button everywhere we are. We are out of time. I'll do one more, Ryan. I'll ask this. What do you think WWE airing Evolve live show and a network having to blah blah blah? I think it's fine.
We talked about
it. Great.
Already.
Yeah, we talked about it. All right. We'll see y'all next time.
Goodbye.
Take
love
care.
You guys. Have a safe 4th.
Bye-bye, my babies.